Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do?
Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, we warn you.
It's Hispanic Heritage Month, which means one thing. We've got the birthday boy, Lewis Fowler, on the phone with us or the Zoom.
Hello, guys. How are you? Thank you for inviting me.
Yay.
Usually about this time, you guys are at Whorehound.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
my birthday every year.
Yeah.
So
actually, we would. This is when it was the indie.
Would have been.
Yeah. Would have been this weekend or the weekend before.
Seriously?
Or next weekend. It would have been around now.
Yeah.
That's just depressing.
This is the year with no Horror Hounds.
They are doing a virtual
I would have been crashing on Casey Criswell's couch right now.
No, I'm with Casey.
So we've got three films coming up this month that Lewis curates each month. So we will be skipping the drawing we usually do for the third main attraction, just because this month is special. Always curated and special.
It belongs to Lewis.
However, mm-hmm. we will be giving away a copy of Robert Attoni's book to a random mailing list subscriber. I have a very brief interview that's just a few minutes long here that I'll play. But after that, we'll do a drawing of whoever the winner is, and you'll get that in the mail. We'll do a drawing each week this month. And then Kelly will
it's
be
a
reviewing.
Physical drawing. I'm going to draw you like my French girls.
In caricature style. Mm-hmm. Like in that insurance commercial with the guy with the giant sandwich.
Yeah, so whoever wins the drawing, I'm going to need some nudes for a reference.
Be careful what you ask for.
Andy.
Andy. Later in the show, Kelly will be reviewing We Summon the Darkness.
I support that.
And and we'll be discussing Ladrones de Almas for our main attraction.
Ladrones de Almas.
Huh?
I said Ladrones de Almas.
Yeah, I think Freddie.
What did I say?
Well...
Did I say Dumbledore?
I said, Ladrones de Almas.
He said it real white.
Is it
perfect?
Did I say burritos?
Did I say tacos? Are we giving tacos again?
Can I get tacos, please?
I was real worried I was going to mispronounce it.
You tried, and I think you...
I wasn't looking at the words when I said it. I did it from memory.
Ooh.
So...
Pretty good from memory.
Yeah. From memory, not too bad.
Not too shabby.
Anywho, patreon.com/notlp. We have a new episode of Night of the Comic came out Wednesday. Another one coming out this coming Wednesday. I encourage you, if you like that show, check out the videos that we're doing because there's a lot of visual elements involved in when you're discussing like comics and art and everything. It's a lot more fulfilling.
Before we started recording, Lewis asked, you know, oh, they still got muscle shirts in Cincinnati. Because all the boys are wearing muscle shirts.
I just call them shirts.
Yeah, I like you call them a muscle shirt. I remember that used to be like for tank tops, people would just say, hey, muscle shirt.
Yeah.
Well, a tank top is different from a muscle shirt, but the reason these I bring it up.
I'm wearing a tank top.
Yeah, he's wearing a tank.
This is a tank.
That's a tank, but Andy kind of is a muscle. Doesn't matter. The reason I brought it up.
Yeah.
So all the boys, by all the boys, you mean Andy.
All right. You know, we're using the term.
I'm wearing a tankini.
It's Lewis's birthday.
You just can't see the bottoms.
Yeah, guys, so there's nothing I hate more that term wife beater.
Yeah, it's a bad one.
Top. So I want to go with all. I just go with all encompassing tank tops.
Tank top.
All
right.
Shirts don't beat wives.
So the reason I bring it up is because on the Night of the Comic videos, usually the boys are they got their guns out because the sun's out.
We never have sleeves.
Yeah. We never have sleeves. Rarely have sleeves. So if you like. Pasty dudes talking about comic books with their
no sleeves,
with their
all
biceps
with
out.
Well, next episode, I'm gonna wear nothing but sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
Ah,
that'll be interesting.
It'll be bare chested, bare torso, mm-hmm. and a bunch of sleeves.
T-less sleeve.
Are you gonna wear one on your wiener?
Come on, Andy. No. On your legs.
No.
I like to let my wiener breathe.
All right.
Are pants just leg sleeves?
And they don't make sleeves that big, Kelly.
Oh yeah, pants that makes sense.
Sleeves for the legs.
Yeah.
Also, Patreon episode 109 from 2008, summertime. We talked about Trap Dashes and the 1978 invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Mm-hmm. So, we just recorded a little intro to our past,
and that's out there now.
To listen to.
So here is the very brief interview with Robert Attoni. Forgive the audio quality. Because we did record this over the phone, and here it is.
So I have, I'm going to just jump in. You know our show, we're super casual. I have Robert Attoni on, who is the author. He has a new anthology out. What is the name of your book?
It's called Her Infernal Name and Other Nightmares.
So we're going to do something special coming up. Well, throughout Hispanic Heritage Month, it's just going to be during this series that we'll be giving away copies of your book every episode to a random mailing list subscriber. Tell us about the book.
Sure. It's a collection of various short stories. There's one novella. It's all kind of anchored around the novella, which is it's called Her Infernal Name. But the other stories are all centered around different fears that I think we all have as everyday folks. Specifically, you know, I channeled my fears into the different stories, and you know, they're about the economy, they're about the environments, they're about relationships. So there's a lot of stuff in there. I think there's a little bit of something for everybody too.
Was this a theme that you wrote to the theme, or are these stories that you had already written that you've collected under the theme?
The only one, there's only one story in this collection that was published elsewhere. So, and it was published right after I wrote it. And then, but it just happened to fit the theme of the anthology itself. So
what's the best place to get it?
It can be pre-ordered on barnesandnoble.com and through a variety of other booksellers, depending on where you are in the world. And you can pre-order it on Amazon as well, the paperback as well as the ebook.
You have a favorite story in the collection?
I do. I'm most proud of the novella, Her Infernal Name. It's really, it's the one that sort of sets the tone for everything. And it really gets, so a lot of the feedback I've gotten has been really positive around it. So I'm particularly proud of that one. It takes fear of social media and fear of FOMO specifically, and kind of addresses that and puts it in a contextual situation against the economy as well. I wrote this, the novella before the pandemic happened, and now I just do not have that feeling anymore. So it was like an exorcism of that particular fear. So that was kind of nice.
I think those are the best stories, the ones that come out of something that a deep feeling that you're trying to figure out. You know, for the author, that the author is just trying to work through something. And I always think that's like the most complex and interesting storytelling. So
I just want to thank you so much for having me. It's pretty much a dream come true to be on your show. I've been listening for so long, and it means a lot. Hearing you talking right now to me is really weird, and it's awesome. And I just thank you guys so much for everything that you're doing. I love you guys so much. It's been so comforting to hear you guys throughout this whole thing, and you all do such a great job, and much love to all of you. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you again, man.
So that was Rob Attoni, and check it out.
I like how you made it sound like an NPR review. NPR interview. We have strings at the end.
Keeping it classy over here, you know? You want to know why? That's one of the few bumpers I actually own. Audio sound stinger things. So it gets a lot of use. It's called Quirky.
This is Freddie Morris. You're listening to Hard Talk on NPR.
here's Amy with the
coming for Terry.
Port on the NASDAQ and
I don't want to
corn future.
I'll do corn futures for sure. In the future, I'll eat corn.
Oh,
back
man.
To you.
Love corn. Yeah.
I will be having cream corn.
Kind of love cream corn. What is the thing where in corn muffins you use corn? Do you use cream corn to bake them with, and then they have corn in them?
You can
cornmeal.
There's no law that says you have to. But let's see who's going to win Robert's book real quick.
Oh, sorry.
And
yes.
Then we're going to talk about more corn muffins.
Okay, please. I want your best recipes, so get ready.
I can't eat corn muffins anymore.
I know you don't, Kelly.
So J. Daniel Kennedy or J. Danielle Kennedy. I'm not sure.
JDK.
I don't have an actual legal name for this person. This is part of their email address. I am sending you a message now to let you know that you've won.
Yay, congratulations.
Hey, thank you for listening and congratulations. You're welcome.
You're going to get a book. It's going to entertain you.
And you're welcome.
Yeah.
Now come to the stage so we can carry you.
On our shoulders?
No, we're going to spill pig's blood on him.
Oh, carry you.
Nice.
Oh,
well, I like
get
how
it.
That worked.
I don't get it.
It's okay.
And then we could toss corn muffins at you too.
Yeah.
I get that.
But made with cream corn.
Man, I love a good corn, like a sweet corn muffin.
Oh, yeah. I like it too when they're like half baked. So there's still the sweet, soggy corn in the middle, but a nice crispy outside.
Yeah.
There was a restaurant. I don't know if it's still open, but they had the corn muffins that they made with cake mix.
Mm.
So it was like real sweet and cakey. Oh, shit.
That, what's that blue? That. Corn mix comes in the blue box.
Jiffy.
I swear by Jiffy.
I've got two boxes of that right now, right? Because we bought three at one time and we've only made one.
I think we've made them.
Oh, shit.
Sorry to.
I got to get back to the store. Anyway, not important. Not important.
What else do you have in your cabinet, Amy?
Beans.
Oh.
Soups.
Soups.
Give Lipton the world.
Do I have Lipton? No, just regular run-of-the-mill Campbell's. You know?
Do you have a lot of Goya?
No Goya, just Kroger brand, but, you know?
We're boycotting Goya, right?
You know, to be fair, more Mexicans buy Kroger brand than Goya.
Right.
Cheaper.
It's the good shit.
And it's apolitical, too.
Right. Yeah. Did you... Are you doing your ADD thing right now? Because you said you had two things at the top of the show you wanted to talk
about.
Yeah,
I have another thing.
And I'm out of corn material.
I didn't know. I just wanted to let the corn happen organically. But
what about the corns on your feet, Amy?
Oh, those are fine.
The other thing is Shudder has released. Shudder is, everybody knows.
You
if
know
you're
Shudder
listening
is.
To this, you know what Shudder is.
Unless you don't get it in your country, and I'm sorry.
But it's a streaming service that focuses on horror films. But they also have started releasing content that usually was just available streaming on their service on DVD and Blu-ray. And most recently, they've released the Shudder original series, Cursed Films, which covers five movies and the myths and legends behind them. Poltergeist, The Omen, The Exorcist, The Crow, and Twilight Zone, the movie.
What do all of those have in common?
What do all of them have in
Most
common?
Most of them have in common. Somebody died on set.
Being cursed.
Yeah, there was either, it's all,
Before they started filming, there's an old man on the stage like, you kids don't go in there, this film's cursed.
But some of them are more interesting than others. In particular, I think the most complex story is the one behind Twilight Zone, the movie, just because of the legal battle that ensued after. But they're all really interesting little documentaries. So if you're a fan of those films, even if you're not, and you're just into like superstition and,
if you're morbid, if you like true crime.
Yeah. It's they're really entertaining. And, but there is something that, and I don't know if they've changed this from when I originally saw, but the Twilight Zone segment actually has the footage of Vic Morrow's accident on set that killed him and the two child actors, and they show it unedited in this series. So I would say if you're squeamish, like I didn't know that was coming, and I don't know that I would have
watch. A little bit snuff film almost.
Yeah, it was that part was rough because like I had never seen that footage prior to watching this series.
So you see the blade, and you see like the head fly off or something.
Well, no, you don't see that because it's such a strong impact.
There's a blinding flash of light and like yeah you don't see much. But
the impact is so heavy that thankfully you don't see the aftermath of it.
Yeah.
But that part of it's pretty disturbing. There's also commentary by the director on all five of the episodes if you have the DVD set.
Of the director of the films?
Or no, the director of the documentary series.
Because I'd love to hear what John Landis says, because people still hate John Landis because of that. You know,
it's still... I remember not long ago, there was like Eddie Murphy came out, and then there was like some discussion of kind of John Landis is not a great guy to work with.
Well, also, Eddie Murphy and John Landis have kind of a screwed up history from working together where they kind of got into it on the set anyway. So there is no like love lost between those two. And also I'm always kind of on the fence because even after watching this, I don't feel like I know the whole story, and he was kind of a young guy. It's just a lot to think about because making movies can be so dangerous, especially something like that.
God, think about making them right now.
Right. Well, yeah. But I mean, even then
Batman's got COVID.
But like the risks
Robert
that
Pattinson
they would take.
Has COVID?
Yeah.
I got COVID.
It killed his parents.
It really is killing people's parents.
Would it be an interesting twist? Wouldn't it? They're like, oh, we reimagine this.
Like,
cool all the time.
A big COVID germ flew through his window in the middle of the night.
Joe Chill. I said Joe Cool.
It is ironic that Batman has COVID. Think about it.
Oh,
because of the bats. Remember how?
Well, I guess people would know that now that Bruce Wayne is Batman because he sounds like this all the time.
Curse Films though, check it out. It's
Casey question for
yeah.
Would it be against the rules if I win this contest so I could have that to watch?
Oh, you can have this contest. I'm not giving this away as a contest.
Oh.
I would just send this to you.
Thank you.
It's all yours.
Sounds interesting, but not interesting enough for me to buy.
Right, I gotcha.
Plus we have access to the
We have Shudder, so yeah, we can watch it whenever we want. Hot and cold running tragedy.
Mm-hmm. And I love it.
But no, it's a really well done series. We even talked about it a little bit, especially the John Landis part on the most recent Night of the Comic that's coming out on Wednesday. But it's good stuff.
Okay. Well, thanks, baby doll.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Adult.
Thank
doll.
You, Shudder.
Thank you. Yeah. What else we got going on, everybody? How have we been the last couple weeks?
We've got a birthday boy on our hands right now.
We got a birthday boy.
Lewis, did you have a good birthday, Lewis?
He's 42 years young.
Yeah, I had a great birthday. Very good birthday. One of the best ever.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
I was going to tell you yesterday, if you want to talk about some true life horror, and you stay down in a place in Oklahoma called Lake Eufaula, a bunch of rednecks try to have a Trump boat regatta. And
is that what you did for your birthday?
No. I really wish I did see this live. Apparently, so they all planned to go, but no one had any plans to how it was going to work. So boats were crashing into each other. Boats were sinking. People were, capsized overboard. It was one big mess. So now you follow all these Trump boats that sunk to the bottom.
I love
so
that.
So there's just these Trump flags, like Trump 2020, just in the bottom of the lake now.
It's like that scene when all the people in Jaws show up to hunt the shark.
Yes, it's exactly like that.
I think it's more like that movie Summer Rental with John Candy.
Yeah, I love that movie.
You know, we were talking about this, was this last night or the other? I don't remember. It doesn't matter. Who can you ever remember in your life people being a fan of a president like this and having parades for them?
No. And I've said this a million times. I do not understand this whole, this is my president. It was not that something. Way.
I went, starting out, I went to watch Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Yeah.
And I cried at the end of it because it was such a, good, hopeful message, the way I guess I won't be telling secrets. Like the world does come together at the end, to make the music and everything. It was just so nice to finally see some science fiction that had a hopeful message. because everything's been so dystopic for the past few years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now this year we've become a dystopic future almost, you know? And I mean, you see our country became more and more of a fascist state, you know, and to see this movie come out with such a good, almost loving movie filled with hope and just
kindness.
It was really, it kind of made me cry towards the end, you know, because it just sucks because this is not our world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can't imagine like what the writers, when they wrote that movie in 87, they probably thought they were doing a dumb comedy, you know. But now it's like something that's like so needed, you know, that type of coming together of people.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. That movie was just like a port in a storm, kind of. It was really fun. And yeah, to see those guys, you know, I was reading an interview with Keanu Reeves and they were like, Bill and Ted aren't, they're not, everybody thought they were stoners, but they're just really positive people. Mm-hmm. And they come off as stoners because they're so positive and nice.
Well, I mean, in the movie, it's like, you know, before they even save the world, they try to save their marriage. They try to save their children, you know. It's just such nice guys. You don't see movies much anymore with such nice guys like these both were, you know.
Right, like characters that you can actually aspire to instead of like, this guy has been pushed to the edge and he can't take it anymore.
And as silly as the movie was, it was actually such a beautiful ending, you know?
Yeah.
A sweet ending. And I haven't seen that in such a long time. So it was just really nice to be back in the, you know, this is only the second movie in the theater I've seen in 2020.
Oh, you went to the theater?
I went once at the beginning of the year to see Selena.
Yeah.
But, did they re-release Selena?
Yeah, it was one of those, you know, where they show old movies on a Wednesday or something. But, it was just real nice. Really nice to see that kind of positive future message of the future, you know. And it was, I loved the movie. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons that Amy and I have been watching so much Star Trek and just in general, like positive futurist theme stuff, like Babylon 5, and you know, that stuff just it does give you like some hope because.
I totally agree.
It's a lot of that storylines. They're like after this horrible thing that we got through, and then the whatever came out of it, you know. So I like to try to think that something really great will come out of all of this.
Yeah, I mean, we're so scared right now because it's that what happened to Kenosha, you know, that 17-year-old.
Yeah,
it's almost like you got to wonder, was that the first shots fired of a new civil war? Mm-hmm. You know.
Is because that the wait till you see the whites of their eyes at Lexington and Concord?
Yeah.
Like the beginning of something.
And then, you know, so we got in November for the election. And, you know, if Trump loses, he's probably not going to leave the White House.
Yeah, that's so true.
I'll drag his motherfucking ass out.
Yeah, fuck him. So it's just scary times right now for the future, you know. I hate to be a kid right now. You know, a little kid who all of a sudden is like trying to figure out what this pandemic is. You know, imagine being a little black kid, you know, and, you know, having to deal with, you know, cops shooting, you know, black people. It's just, it's a fucking tragic future we're in right now.
That's
why Bill and Ted was just such a great inspirational movie to see right now.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Yeah. I'm interested though. You said you went to the theater. What was that like? Did your theaters just open?
Opened last weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Ours just opened last week.
And, they were like very, you know, they had, it was a new theater called the Flicks Brew House, which is a wannabe Alamo Draft House, you know?
Right.
And it's the only place in town that was playing Bill and Ted, you know, no one else was playing it. Everyone else was playing Tenet and that Russell Crowe driving movie.
Oh, Unhinged. I had never fucking heard of it.
The only thing Unhinged about that is his jaw in order to fit more Twinkies in there.
Oh, shit. I love fat Russell Crowe. It's my favorite incarnation of Russell Crowe.
Hey, Millie, but, no grumbling.
Yeah, the theaters were, they opened them and it was nice. I mean, it's, you know, they were spaced apart, you know, by two or three people and the rows were wide, so and I was on a handicap row.
You mean so Russell Crowe can fit through them?
Yeah, they made them wide just in case he comes to the theater.
He came to visit.
It's his movie. He might be there.
Yeah,
it's true. You never know.
But yeah, no, my theater was nice. I felt pretty safe in there. I was masked up, and
yeah,
you know, I was giving into the lie of masks.
You know, I don't want to go to because the dogs are grumbling at each other, Millie? And they're distracting me.
Put a mic on Millie real quick.
No, she doesn't deserve it.
Do you guys hear it?
She's being a grumpy bitch.
You hear
God
it?
Damn it!
How about now? She really wants to be heard.
You guys just chat. I'm gonna go try to break this up.
Amy's playing mom.
I feel like Amy was about to make a point about something.
She probably was. It was probably a really good point too. She's smart. Mm-hmm. But the dog ruined it.
Well,
she's nature.
Well, if you feel safe about it, I mean, I go to the movies. You know, I haven't been in them all year, so it was nice to get out and go. You know.
Yeah, I'm still in a holding pattern as far as like I go out sparingly, very like at the I get our groceries delivered. I pretty much leave just for doctor's appointments and stuff. But you know, it is what it is.
Yeah,
I'm just paranoid about getting it.
Lewis, did you get popcorn or anything, or is that kind of dangerous to eat in a movie theater?
Well, number one, it's dangerous to eat even before the pandemic was. I know. I worked in movie theaters. I know what those kids do. I know how those kettles are cleaned. You don't want popcorn from the theater.
Well, thanks a lot, Lewis, because that's one of my favorite goddamn foods.
That's what makes it taste good.
You don't even want to know what they do with the hot dogs, because I did it myself.
God damn it. That's another one of my favorite foods, and that's not a joke.
What they do with the hot dogs.
But no, it's a kind of restaurant / movie theater. So I had some green chili queso, and I had a called a brew house burger, and they're both pretty much like eating at Chili's.
Yeah.
Shit, yeah.
Which so if you love Chili's, they were great. If you don't like Chili's, they were terrible.
That's like what it's like at the Envision here.
Yeah.
Like their food is very much like a TGI Fridays.
You're not going there for the culinary experience.
It gets the job done.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's fine. You're getting to eat a burger at a movie theater.
To be fair, though, I was going there for the culinary experience.
We went to one of those with our friend, with Mikey B, and he ordered something, and it came with, like, mayonnaise on it, and he will not touch anything with mayonnaise. So he's like, puts this giant sandwich on my little table because they didn't take it back. And the space that you have for food there is so small. It just looked like I was being like buried under food because I had my food and his sandwich and everything in front of me.
How much food did you have to be buried under?
A lot.
Well, probably.
Full rack of ribs.
It may have been a full rack of ribs.
Were they like Flintstone size
Flintstones?
Ribs? Yeah. I had a Brontosaurus burger.
My point was I would only go to a movie theater right now if I would go on an off day of the week where not a lot of people are there and I was at the first showing of the day before everybody breathed in it and got their droplets everywhere.
Yeah. To be fair, there was barely anyone in my screening and I had a whole row to myself and there was no one behind me or in front of me, so I felt
that's
okay.
Pretty good.
Do they mark off like seating, like to say, hey?
Yeah, you have to choose on a computer.
Okay. Seats, you know? So they blacked out ones.
Yeah, but I was in the handicap section, you know, because I'm technically handicapped. But so no one was in my row except me, and no one was sitting behind me or in front of me, so I felt safe.
You could wear a poncho, to protect from droplets. I don't know. I'm just an insane person.
I just wore my Trump 2020 blanket.
Yeah, that'll keep people away from you. Think about it. Unless
that's one of the best things about the new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, where Larry discovered that if he wears a Keep America, Make America Great Again hat, people stay away from him.
That's funny.
I'm not sure I would risk it.
Yeah. I didn't even know they were still making episodes of that show. Have to revisit. Anywho,
sure
we should probably get into roulette.
Anything else?
Anything else for the top from anybody?
No, I was just thinking about what I would order at one of those movie theater things. I would order loud foods like soup or crab legs.
Yeah. A lot of slurping and cracking coming from Mandy's seat.
I got the menu right here.
Oh, here you go.
What are the loudest foods on it?
You can order a bowl of Rice Krispies.
There you go. A bowl of Pop Rocks.
Okay, well, they have one thing called steak and avocado.
I'd eat that.
Sounds good.
Kickin' Fried Chicken Sandwich.
I'd eat that.
I have the Bacon Brew House Burger. They have a Beyond Burger if you're a vegetarian. Fish and Chips, Chicken Tenders and Fries.
I'd eat that.
A double pep mini pizza.
Oh, yeah, I'd eat that.
Pep.
Double pep.
It's real pep.
They have a tuxedo cake.
That's such a fancy.
It's white and chocolate together.
Rich, moist, dark chocolate cake with whipped cream, icing, and chocolate sauce.
Not too much chocolate. Mm.
And the ball back is nothing but the beers they have. I guess they have to make their own beers there.
Do they have a Rheingeist Slangria?
No, but they have a Amity Island Punch and an El Mariachi Margarita, which I'm really not sure how I feel about. But and they have Habanero popcorn, chili con Hatch chili queso, a Bavarian pretzel, cheese curds, chicken wings, potato skins, and loaded fries.
Damn,
and
Russell Crowe nuts.
What about a sizzling fajita platter?
Oh, that would be a good one.
Oh man, that would be such a
Do they sing to you if it's your birthday?
Oh.
In the middle of the movie, they come out and bring you a cake with a sparkler in it.
Very, very quiet. Because I, in order to drink, the drinks are all $1. So I had coffee. I just had coffee. So, but you know, the cups of coffee are small, so they keep bringing me refills. So you just press a button and they kind of like duck roll down, you know.
Yeah.
You write a piece of paper and hand it to them, and they, you know, bring it back. But everybody was very quiet. And, you know, they're very.
I love the idea of a server floundering around in the dark movie theater with a hot pot of coffee.
Well, think about
one server did drop a plate of chips behind me.
It's like, oh fuck, shit.
Do you think it's a bunch of like comedy club waiters and waitresses that are out of work right now? Because they're always doing that stuff in the dark.
They were all kids. So.
Oh, okay.
I do think it'd be kind of funny though. Is like if they come out of the stairs like. 5 chocolate cakes.
Kind of amazing.
9 coconut cream pies.
There's a fly in my soup. What's this fly doing in my soup? I ruined it.
Looks like the backstroke.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back with roulette.
Okay.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
Police came across another grisly murder scene last night.
Wait, I want to hear that.
The walls covered in satanic symbols.
Another gruesome ritualistic murder claimed the lives of 6 people last night following a heavy metal concert
that local religious groups were protesting.
This is supposed to scare other people, not us.
So you ready for Soldiers of Satan?
All right, let's go.
Cheers to a night that we're going to remember for years to come.
Hear, hear.
My brothers and sisters, the evil that is heavy metal rock music is unwavering in its goal to corrupt our children's souls.
Girls, be careful now. There's a lot of evil out there.
You don't think we can fend for ourselves?
Boys! Do you want to have a threesome with us?
How many more children must die in Satan's name?
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
It is not too late. Join me in this fight. Incinerate these demons and send them back to hell.
I know you.
I'm the wrath of God.
Why are the police here?
Good riddance.
So the good news is
Alexandra Daddario.
Well, yeah, she's.
That's the good news, right?
The acting is. The good news in general is that the acting is all around okay.
All right. We can take that.
This is a 90-minute movie. It feels like at least another 30 minutes on top of that. If you took this 90-minute movie and whittled it down to 43, the 43 best minutes, this would be like a solid but sort of uninspired episode of Tales from the Crypt.
All right.
Yeah, it's just it's super like whatever. It's fine. It's not horrible. Basically, you start off with these three young women who it's set in 1988, and they keep trying to convince you it's the 80s, but they don't try very hard. So there are cars that clearly weren't around in 1988. I think they're just counting on people watching it who weren't there for it. but it's like, oh, that car didn't exist. Oh, there's no bangs, so I don't know how this is the 80s. Them had, it was like everything was 80s inspired. Right. You're like, you're living in an 80s inspired timeline.
So it's like surface 80s.
It's very.
So it's like when your local sorority has an 80s party.
It's exactly like that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Good. And then they go to a. They meet these like headbanger guys at a sort of a goofy heavy metal show. And I'm trying to decide if I should spoil this or not. It's not a recommend, but I won't spoil it. It's just, it's real basic. It's not very exciting. It's much more pedestrian than you even think it's going to be. Like it starts off, my nose itches.
Oh my gosh.
It starts off.
That's how it starts off?
What?
That's how the movie starts off? Are they doing lines of coke or something? They're like, oh, my nose.
Yeah.
You know?
I was reenacting that for you.
You're so adorable, Kelly. Just how you said, my nose itches.
In the middle of you made my nose itch.
Yeah. In the middle of review, just like, my nose itches.
Spread it around.
You're just like a ray of light.
Oh, well, I try to shine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just it's way less interesting than you even think it's going to be, which isn't even that interesting to begin with.
Johnny Knoxville's in it.
Yeah.
Johnny Knoxville is in it, and he does okay. I mean, he always does okay. Everybody does. The acting isn't really a problem, and I do like Alexandra Daria. She actually is always good. She's a good presence, and not just because of her boobs. I mean, she's she's legitimately, you know, a pretty good actor.
But those boobies don't hurt.
Yeah, although there's not, I mean, it's not really, this movie is booby free entirely, I think. But that's okay. I mean, it's just, it's.
It didn't knock your dick in the dirt.
It didn't knock my dick in the dirt, nor did it blow or blast my nuts off. It didn't do anything to my junk area.
Blow or blast.
It didn't either.
It did at least lovingly caress for a moment or two.
It left them alone. It didn't hurt.
It didn't anything. Hurt them.
Yeah, it acknowledged them.
It prostate problem. It didn't cause any lesions or anything. It just
lesions. The movie was
my
like,
junk
hey.
Was thumbs ambivalent.
The movie was like, hey, there's some junk.
I just moved on. Ever since I heard this movie about earlier this year, I've been wanting to see it because the trailer to me looked like a Rob Zombie movie.
Yeah,
but if it was directed by like Spider from Pyromania 5000, Rob Zombie.
That's so much like if that was how it was, that would be great.
That's such a specific reference to Spider-Man.
I know exactly. I accidentally saw them twice.
Accidentally.
It was never on purpose.
But it's like he's trying to impress his brother Rob with his horror knowledge, but he just can't get there quite
right.
Actually, I bought their album when I was in college.
What?
I bought their album in college. Because I'm like
Worlds Collide or whatever.
Yeah, it was like very like goth metal light. I was like, yeah, I'm cool, man.
I'm white.
Yeah. I was very sheltered. I thought I was cool.
Yeah, that would have been great though. That would have been a fun thing to watch because it at least would have been goofy. I mean, this is goofy, but not even that goofy. It's just it's super like. And it feels longer than it is.
Is it kind of like a take on Satanic Panic type movies?
Yeah, they make you think it's going to be. And it is a little bit. That's sort of the framing device. And there's sort of a subplot with that. But it's much less of a of a theme than you think it's going to be, because they kind of make it out like that's the whole idea. And it really is just kind of in the background.
I don't know if you guys reviewed it or not. I can't remember. Did you ever see a movie called The Babysitter on Netflix?
Yeah, I love that movie.
I love that one.
So this movie wasn't that kind of like humor, but like horror.
I think this was trying to capture that The Babysitter vibe. I don't think it did it as successfully.
Mm, okay.
Did you?
But it's definitely that kind of thing for sure. Okay. I think it was inspired by, or, you know, they picked this up because of that, or this was specifically made because of that. But yeah.
Because That Babysitter was a great movie. That was very fun.
What about, was it called Satanic Panic?
Yeah.
With Rebecca Romijn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was a really fun version. This reminds, the trailer reminds me of, for We Summon the Darkness, reminds me of the Grady Hendrix book, We Sold Our Souls. Is that the
name? We Sold Our Souls is a really good book.
Which is a really great book.
There is very little rock and roll in this movie. There's a lot of talk.
About rock and roll?
A lot of talking. Actually, there is. They talk about stuff to let you know it's the 80s. Like, they had this whole thing about Cliff Burton and Metallica. They're really trying to let you know that they know about the history of, like, they bring up Dave Mustaine and they talk about like what concerts they saw. And the guy's like, I saw Ozzy on Randy Rhoads' last concert night. It's like, okay, we get it, you guys.
But they don't go deep. Like, dude, let's see Blackie Lawless.
No, they sure don't.
Does one of them try to order a Pepsi free?
Right at the surface. They're like, it's a taste of a new generation.
So it's like they typed in 80s and went to the 80s Wikipedia page.
They searched like four things. They were like, what was happening in heavy metal in the 80s? Okay.
So basically they found like a copy of a Circus on the ground and just flipped through that and picked some bands out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. They even had, they were like, comes out, that new album comes out next month. It was like, it's silly, but it's fine. It's, you know, it's an inoffensive movie. It doesn't hurt you to watch it. It just,
it's inoffensive.
You know, my standards are so low right now because of the world we live in that if a movie doesn't actively hurt me, all right, I'm in.
Yeah. It's okay. I didn't hate it. I just,
it didn't.
It just kept ending to, like, it kept having endings, and you're like, and then it, like, goes a little bit further than that. And you're like, I thought you just ended. And then, like, it just goes another couple minutes. And then you're like, oh, okay, here's the, there's like, you're going to do another shot. Okay. Oh, a whole other scene. Okay.
Oh, it kills me when a movie, like, wears out its welcome to the point where, like, I was watching something recently and I was like, I'm going to stick around till after the credits because I feel like they had the nerve to tack something on. When a movie is like, I think it's when they're really bloated and not, you know, there's a bunch of unnecessary stuff in the main body of the film anyway. And then they're like, well, we shot it. We might as well put it in the post-credit sequence too.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're not the Avengers. You're you're about a hillbilly who eats people or something, you know.
Yeah.
Simple.
Bubba Hillbilly.
An old-fashioned.
Bubba Hillbilly.
Old-fashioned.
Old-fashioned hillbilly cannibal.
Cannibals the way we used to make them back then.
These ain't your grandma's cannibals. Wow.
Honest cannibals. Hard-working cannibals.
There was a time in America where cannibals gave a damn.
Not anymore.
Cannibals remember.
Thank you for calling 911.
Cannibals remember.
If you have an old-fashioned hillbilly cannibal problem, press 1. The police will be there in 5 days. If it's up to Joe Biden.
And Joe Biden's America.
You're gonna Joe Biden's eaten. America, cannibalistic hillbillies run rampant in the streets.
God, please vote if you're an American and get registered and fucking.
You know, even if you're not an American, please vote.
You know what? Y'all got your fascists too out there in the world.
Fucking Republicans are allowed to vote 2 or 3 times, according to Trump. I don't care where you come from. Even if you don't even have your green card, go vote anyway.
Yeah.
Apparently it's all legal now.
Yeah. My absentee ballot application will be in the mail as of tomorrow. Because today
mine
is the mail
too.
Holiday.
Did it filled out?
Yeah.
I'm not going to risk those absentee. I'm going to go right to the polling place and just vote.
I might just do it provisionally that day too. Who knows? Just to make sure that it
gets. You don't know how they're going to fuck it up.
Yeah.
Trump, you know?
Mm-hmm. Trump. You know. Okay, we're gonna crank it.
We're gonna crank it
real hard.
Okay.
Oh, we're gonna
crank it.
Give it to me, Amy. Who's up first? Who wants this box? Who wants this sweet box of mine?
We're going to crank.
Put their hands on it.
Crank it hard. We're going to, it was Kelly.
Am I on this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll throw you in there for sure.
What? It's a movie on Netflix, sir, so I don't got to actually go look for it, right?
It's on Amazon Prime. Can you handle that?
Oh, no.
Well, then you're out.
We can make it work.
I'll give you my password, but then you'll just buy a bunch of stuff. I'll be like, who? Why am I getting these suggestions? Like,
why am I getting all these orders for small condoms?
Like the smallest condom sizes you have. It's real weird. Okay. Andy's up first.
All right, Andy.
I'm on first. Who's on second?
Insult to injury. All right, Andy.
Did he get me?
You got God. You cranked it so hard it popped. No. It's on Prime, like I said.
So premature.
It's called Evil Little Things. A young boy finds a mystical toy maker with stories to tell. The first is of a leprechaun seeking revenge on a defenseless family. Second is of a doll who works a doll who works evil on her fragile owner. The toy maker gives the boy a clown named Giggles. Clowns are supposed to be the guardians of happiness, right? These evil little things will cause you many sleepless nights.
Ooh, this sounds like they didn't even try.
It sounds like they went through every popular horror show over the past 20 years. And only had 15 minutes worth of story for each one.
Yeah,
up down this film.
Well, I will tell you, Zach Galligan's in it. So,
Who?
Billy from Gremlins.
Oh, it's Zach Galligan. It's Zach Galifianakis.
Right, that'd be fantastic.
I feel like
Zach
he would do it.
Galifianakis and Zach Galligan in the new Gilligan's Island with Jim Gaffigan, Kathleen Madigan,
Gaffigan, Gilligan, and Galifianakis together again.
And big ups to Gaffigan for going the fuck off on Twitter.
Oof, yeah, that's my.
Oh yeah, he cursed.
Good for you, sir. But seriously, lay off adults who like to go to Disney World.
That was one special.
She took that to heart.
You're so stung.
I agree with him.
We'll be right back with our manager.
I'm sure you do.
Right after. The main attraction. Satisfaction. Guaranteed to rock the chains and bind you. Oh, oh, oh. This week's main attraction is Lewis's first pick for Hispanic Heritage Month.
De Alma.
Thank you. I was going to play the trailer, but it's all in Spanish. And people were giving me crap for playing foreign language trailers.
Maybe there's Spanish listeners out there who would really appreciate that.
I thought that too. I started to play it and I was like, if somebody is Spanish speaking, they would appreciate having the trailer audio, but I didn't want to invite the bullying.
It's not bullying. It's just hard for us.
Frankly.
All right.
Build the wall.
I'm sorry, Freddie. We should be best.
Should be best.
Be best.
If you can't be best, be a best supporter.
If they wanted to listen to Chili Bear Lord English.
God damn it. So what's the title translate to? I forget.
Thieves of the Soul.
Oh, okay. All right.
I like it in Spanish much better.
Yeah.
Thieves of the Souls just sounds, it sounds kind of lame in English.
It sounds kind of generic, yeah.
Yeah. So.
But if you whisper Lichardus to Alamos in the woman's ear, she quivers a bit.
It does. It's sexier.
Lichardus to Alamos.
That makes it sound like perfume.
Well, not in Amy's ear, but.
So, Lewis, what inspired this pick?
Well, I wanted to kind of start off easy for you guys because, it's right there on Netflix, and I know that I pick sometimes some more obscure films for you have to look for. But this one really surprised me because I did not know. I didn't research it. I didn't know what to expect. And Netflix is doing really good lately by having a lot more Spanish language genre films on their site. And this one, I seen, you see the pictures that advertise the film on the screen. So it's sometimes just different pictures. And just one time it's a picture of the girls, one time it's a picture of the guy holding the cross in front of his face. So it just really interested me. And the description gave me no idea of what I would be watching. So, so it was just something that I just picked on the spur of the moment. I thought it might be a fun watch, might be a bad watch. But, it's just spur of the moment thing.
Yeah, it's, you know, like you were saying, the images, I was thinking Ghost Story when I first saw the images.
Yeah.
But it's not that at all. It's actually like a period piece during the Mexican Revolution.
It's almost like a zombie movie. It's a witch movie. Mm-hmm. It's a treasure movie. It takes all these different kind of avenues where it wants to go with the story. And though the beginning is a very slow beginning, you know, the first 30 minutes are pretty slow, but once it gets to, you know, underneath the house and you start seeing the creature and you start learning about the myths of the people that live in the swamp, and you know, and the zombies are very much a very voodoo Santeria mm-hmm. type zombie, you know, they create with the potions and the liquids and the, you know, the sisters create.
Well, they even have a character who, like, you know,
I thought that was one of the most interesting parts of the movie when he says that.
Yeah.
There's a guy who is, I looked him up and he was born in Haiti, but then moved to Mexico. So,
the actor?
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought you're
talking about the idea of
a black Mexican.
Of slaves in Mexico. I didn't know that the slave trade went down there too. So it was kind of a history lesson for me too.
Well, he mentions that his people brought this to Mexico.
Yeah, the zombies.
Yeah, that they turned them into slaves to work for them. And that
I thought it was great, yeah.
And the deal with the sisters, too, is like, you never know where the sisters stand in all this. And, you know, especially the little girl, you don't even know if the little girl's a zombie because she doesn't talk.
Right.
You know, she's kind of like saunters around, looks creepy.
Yeah.
She's a creepy saunter.
Her name is Creepy Saunters.
But what did you guys think about it? I thought it was really good. I thought it was slow, but when picked up, it really did pick up and became very, very atmospheric, very creepy.
Yeah, I liked it. It reminded me, I like how the gothic feel of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the setting of the old mansion. And it was like very, at times, very Hammer horror to me.
Yeah.
I get that. I liked it a lot. I thought it was a lot of fun. I always love supernatural zombies, but that still behave like, you know, Romero zombies. I like the idea of people using them magically as like guards. That's a very kind of role playing game purpose for zombies. I like that. It's not a ghost story, but it does play like it's almost like a ghost story. It's kind of like a fairy tale ghost story, except they're sort of revenants instead of ghosts. But I thought it was a lot of fun. And like you said, I like the witch angle too.
Yeah.
Just a good supernatural sort of period story. Really, really good.
And the at the very beginning, the titles that came up threw me off a little. Because, you know, this is based on a true story about the Cordero sisters.
Right.
So I thought this might be, like, not horror film at all. That might be a period piece about, you know, these soldiers that attacked this house.
I did, too.
And for the first 30 minutes, that's literally what I was thinking. That it was going to be, like, a dramatic piece. Then all of a sudden, when one of the soldiers goes downstairs to the attic, then all of a sudden you see a zombie. I'm like, what the fuck's going on here?
Yeah, I was really excited when they started talking about the living dead. Like, they're like, the stories about this land, you know, and then the living dead wall. I was like, oh, sweet. It's going to be zombies. Thank goodness. Because I love zombies.
Yeah, because it starts with that, with this contingent of soldiers who are clearly looking for something, but they won't ever come out and say it, even to each other. They're like, we're here to find the thing. Wink. And so they stumble across this kind of, I don't know what big mansion in the middle of nowhere.
It's like a fort.
Yeah.
It's almost like a plantation almost.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the Pirates of the Caribbean area at Disney World.
Oh, like the queue, especially.
Down under when they're underneath the house. Isn't
that the place where Jim Gaffigan says you shouldn't go because you're an adult?
Yeah. That's the same place.
Same place. Yeah. So they stumble across this place. I mean, I think they were looking for it. They're not quite sure it's the right place, though. I got that impression.
Well, they're just picking. It's because it's the midpoint between where the last crew of soldiers were going and where they disappeared.
Right. But you don't kind of learn that till later. But they talk, you know, they come to this place, and then the people that live there, this father, his four daughters, and the kind of bodyguard.
The servant,
but he's more kind of like, I'm here to protect them and take care of them. And they say, you know, we're part of the resistance against the Spanish government, and, you know, we would love to, like, chill here for a little bit if that's cool with you. And this family is very clearly part of the resistance as well. You know, they're kind of dancing around each other, not quite sure. But they agree to let them stay at this kind of out-of-the-way spot on their land. And you go through this whole movie thinking, not the whole movie, obviously, but, like, through most of the movie thinking these soldiers might be good guys.
Yeah.
Mm. And then it switches when they first see the zombie, and they're like, that's my...
Well, it actually switches when they go to the decrepit house that the landowner sends them to, mm-hmm. and then they start talking about who they really are.
And they're really part of the
or Spanish army.
And they're, you know, but they know of some payments, I guess taxes or blood money that didn't make it to the Spanish, you know, the army.
It looks like it's stolen gold as best. Yeah. I mean, like, it seems like it's that kind of like
it's treasure. Like a pirate's treasure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, probably it's probably the family's gold. The family probably was, you know, a rich family before this all happened. They were looted by the Spanish. Probably that's all they have left, and they're hiding it, you know. And the only way to really take care of it is probably with zombies guarding it.
I mean, that's where I would go immediately.
It's the best way.
I would chain up a fucking zombie.
It's a really effective way to protect your gold.
And I would like to say about this movie too, how surprising what the blood splatters were.
They were juicy.
People got shot and he like literally covered a whole wall.
Yeah.
And constant stabbings with swords to the chest.
There's real good gore in this.
They went
there's
a lot of
gore,
it.
Yeah.
And I'm not a gore.
Zombies are good too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really surprised about how actually how beautiful the movie looked and how beautiful the gore was shot. It just wasn't like just, you know, a blood splatter. It was like a beautifully splatted against the wall splatter with the gunshot and the knives and everything.
That's one thing I have to disagree with. I felt like the blood spatters were kind of poorly done because there was just so much of it.
Oh, Andy.
There was only one time, one special effect that was poorly.
No, there was that one time.
They had a head carrying, and the head looked like, you know, in Pee Wee's Big Adventure when he pulls out that huge head? Yeah. It looked like a little version of that huge head from Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
But I don't want to nitpick, but there's just one scene where this girl is being confronted by a soldier, and somebody behind her shoots the soldier, but the blood splatter hits her in the face.
Yeah. Why can't you just have fun, Andy?
Technically, the blood would go backwards and not.
Well, you know what, Andy? Well,
it goes both ways.
You've obviously never been splattered in the face, so.
Yeah, have you ever been standing in front of somebody that was just shot in the back of the head?
Andy? I've never shot a Spanish soldier, so maybe they're.
Maybe that's a problem, Andy.
Think about it.
Do you guys, there was the one soldier who, I thought the actor was an albino, or was
The one that was supposed to be playing an old guy, I think. But
the one who goes down to rape that girl and she bites his lip off?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
okay.
He's not.
The grossest part of the whole movie for me was seeing his dirty fingers. Because they were just so dirty. And he's like raking his hands across the girl's face. I'm like, ugh.
Everybody was dirty. Well,
that's why she bit his face off.
He was odious.
Yeah, I wasn't too... I mean, the sexual assault was bad enough, but the fact that he had dirty fingers made it worse.
It was a different time.
Here you go.
Did you feel that this also had the look of something that was filmed with, like, soap opera cameras in some sequences?
We talked about that, too.
It does feel almost like a telenovela style, you know, set up and shooting, like it was shot on video instead of film.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad that my TV is set up for film, because if it was set up for video, it probably would look terrible.
Yeah.
It is interesting to see, like, because I know sometimes videos go through an up conversion and there's kind of faking the frame rate or faking the resolution. But in this, they overcame that, I think, that look. They managed really to make it work for them where it wasn't distracting the way it could have been.
And because the way it was filmed on video, I feel that's almost the reason why I was so amazed with the gore shots and the makeup.
Yeah.
Because it almost didn't feel, almost felt like at first it'd be cheaper, like TV style, you know, but it wasn't. It was actually film style.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I thought was very impressive.
And it, yeah. So like when you watch a film, you know, it didn't have those artifacts or any of that distortion that you see. So everything, like when someone's in the background in this movie, they're in, the way they filmed it was they're in focus, foreground's in focus. There's lots of colors in this, for especially where the people who live there, their living quarters are super colorful.
Yeah, the costuming, very colorful and bright, very clean.
Yeah. So that part of it, for me, I'm like right in the middle on this movie. The only thing, it could have been spiced up a little bit maybe, but that's probably just because I'm spoiled by like fast-paced modern movies. Had this come out in the 70s, I would probably be calling it a classic because it is a strong story. And it's well executed.
I mean, it may not be a classic, but it's like, imagine going to see a horror film at the theater right now, and it's not great, but you still like it.
Right.
I feel this is like, you know, it's like, kudos to Netflix for putting something on their channel. That's like just a regular horror movie for, you know, Latinos, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what this is. It's almost like just going to a movie theater to see, you know, Annabelle would be for America. You know, it's just a good horror movie. It's not classic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to go down in history, but it's just a great hour and a half of film to watch.
But it tells a great story.
Like, I think Andy was saying, this fits right in with Hammer. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at the stills that they have available on IMDb, if you just go, you know how they have like the master collection of stills from each movie. Mm-hmm. There is one still in particular. It's number 14 of 15. And it's the father, and one of the daughters, and it looks like it came right out of a Hammer movie.
Mm.
Yeah, I feel like the set, the atmosphere was the best part of the movie for me.
Mm. I was really
the location. Yeah. The location and the history about, the legends of how they had the slaves working in the coal mines and how they got loose. I just like the mythology around it.
I really like to talk. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think I like that more than the actual execution of the movie.
I really like to talk to the director or read an interview with the director to ask him, was Hammer films, was, you know, 60s Gothic films, was this his inspiration? Because the tone was set so apart the most horror films, even in America these days, you know?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a ghost story at first, but I like the little twist of the zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely didn't see the zombies coming.
I really like that twist of the witches too. I thought that was great. They were witches.
Yeah, and the sisters are kind of striking characters too. Like I really kind of dug, like, there is some backstory there that they don't give you 100% of it. In a way, it feels like it came out of left field, but it's forgivable because it gives them an air of mystery that I think makes the movie work on that level.
I kind of thought the last scene was cool too. When they just, the very last scene of the movie where they just go to the frame of one sister, the camera turns and there's like two behind her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I actually laughed a little bit. Yeah. In the way the ending for me played corny.
That was where I said, oh, it's kind of like telenovela. Like when they kind of had that shot.
Exactly what Kelly says. That ending was very much like the capper to a long telenovela, you know? And I kind of wondered, did the director do telenovelas before, you know? Because he had to set up the pacing, everything.
Because
you want to tell the video, it could be like 70 episodes. First 30 episodes will be all set up, you know?
Right.
So, and the movie was very much paced like that. So it must have a telenovela background, because that ending was very much like the capper.
Yeah, that makes sense. For me, that moment didn't jive with the way the other shots in the movie were put together. So it stood out in a funny way that maybe it's just probably a matter of me not being used to that.
Right.
But, my first instinct was to giggle when you see one and then there's one kind of poking out behind and then another. It's very staged.
I thought that was a great capper. I really did.
I actually like that too. It kind of gave me like a Dracula feel, like a kind of dark shadowsy,
definitely.
Yeah, I kind
of
liked it.
Yeah, it does. This, it did remind me a lot of Dark Shadows too. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, well, Andy said at the beginning, it's very gothic.
Yeah.
I think that's what kept me in it. Because I think the pacing was a little off, certainly. It was slow at the beginning, but I was also sips tired. Let's just be real. Part of that's my fault.
My girlfriend, yeah. We were all watching my girlfriend. She fell asleep about halfway through.
There was a moment where my eyes started to close, and I was like, Amy, this is for work. Yeah. This is for Lewis.
Like, you fell asleep. I was like, you fell asleep for the zombies. She goes, there were zombies.
Amy, this is going into your performance review.
And as it should. As it should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you meet HR, that's going to be, they're going to bring that up. Like, she falls asleep during moves a lot.
She does a lot.
You only get a one-step raise.
I haven't had a raise in 2 years. That's not important for the show.
Let's talk more about your work history, Amy.
Let's do that. We worked at the same place for 13 years. God, what was I love that kind of kernel of exposition you get about who they are. The zombies, kind of how it's just kind of like, we use them to do work around the mines. I would have liked to have seen that explored more. But this idea that they've got these zombie slaves working, and then the war hits, and nobody's around to take care of them anymore, and now they're out and about, and they're fucking shit up.
Doing what zombies do.
Yeah.
Painting the town dead!
Oh!
was that Crypt Keeperism?
Oh. Sure. Yep.
So there you go.
I have to say, like, the twist that they were part of the Spanish army and they got their comeuppance. I felt it's very satisfying with all the talk about, you know, colonists and colonialism.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's very prescient, I think.
Well, you think about, my brain started to spin out to, like, what has colonialism done to the world to bring us to this point? And you think about all these countries where things are not good, or, you know,
America
in a constant state of war forever because of these decisions made hundreds of years ago. And then you just like, but there's already a pandemic and I can't add this on top right now.
Not to get into like history, boring history stuff, but I don't think this is boring, but, whenever an empire crosses an ocean, it seems like it starts to fall apart and there's revolution involved, at least prior to, you know, that may have be changing now and given, you know, transportation.
For America, it's been 500 years, you know, and, you know, pretty much a lot of white people are fearful right now because a lot of minorities are taking the streets, you know, so now, you know, everybody's like, you know, if Biden wins, you know, the streets will become lawless. They want to defund the police and all that. More, it's like people are saying, just stop killing us. Stop.
Yeah.
You know, we're not asking for anything special. We're not asking for, you know, anything different than what it says. Stop killing us, you know. And I don't see why that's so scary to a lot of white people.
I don't know why either. I don't know why. But I guess I wasn't raised in that way. Listen, I'm certain. I know I have racism in my head. You can't help it growing up, you know, in the 80s as a white girl. But at the end of the day, I think my mother raised me to know that that's some bullshit. And I don't understand why we fight against it. Good things aren't, there isn't a limited supply of goodness. So let's spread it the fuck around and stop hurting people. I should run for president.
I think the narrative is for the other side of the quote unquote argument, the not reckoning with reality end of it. Like, there's a whole nother narrative in those people's heads. So like, you have to like go way back, start from square one and like rebuild logic from the ground up on how you got to that point where there's this us and them thing. And the problem is the same people who need to do that are the same ones who don't want to deal with the past at all. So you can't go back and take the action you need to confront that stuff if you're also saying it was my grandparents and not me.
Yeah, it's just I think it's just general laziness.
Yeah, definitely part of it.
Yeah,
they just don't want to think about things.
Don't like, want to be
well. Also, too, they've had it so good for so long. They're afraid that minorities could treat them the way they treated minorities.
Right, and that's what is the word I want? Let's underline that fact and really examine that, because that goes to show you just how bad you've been.
But it's fucked up to think that, like, if a minority does not want to be shot and killed, that's something that, like, people have to take to the streets to protest, you know, not protest their murder. And the fact that people are actually against that, that's why I don't understand, you know. To me, that's the whole root of, like, white people have it so good, they never have to worry about being murdered, but they piss on minorities that are saying, don't murder us.
They're also coming from a place of, that's not their experience, so they don't believe it exists.
Right.
So they think
plane of reality.
They think that they're, you know, I think a lot of them, their reasoning is the wool's been pulled over our eyes. And
I've never had a cop treat me like that. I just do what he says.
Right.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Anyway. So, what did he keep calling the girls in the movie? I thought it was funny. Was it just damn witches?
He called them bastards.
Bastards.
Bastards came up a few times.
I think that was her saying that, and it just got, like, I think you saw it on the subtitle after, like, she said it. She was calling him a bastard, because I thought the same thing, but she was also saying something in Spanish.
Oh, really? I thought he was calling her a bastard at one point.
Well, it seemed like that, but I think it was just sort of slow subtitles, because she was also leaking, and that makes more sense.
She was leaking?
Yep, she was leaking, and like that makes more sense.
Danny Trejo's long-lost cousin.
I was going to say, too, I thought that dude was Danny Trejo for a long
time.
Like,
he looked so much like him.
In the beginning, I thought, for sure.
Yeah, that's not racism, that's actual sight.
Just look at
him. I am saying, as a Mexican, I thought that was Danny Trejo.
Thank you, Lewis, because I was worried that what I was saying was...
Just when you thought Danny Trejo was one of a kind.
But to be fair, he thinks all Mexicans look like Danny Trejo. Mm-hmm.
All of them are short and adorable.
He had the best costume of everyone.
He called that little girl. These chicks, man, you fuck with them, they're going to bite part of you
chicks,
off.
Chicks, man.
I'd love that. The little girl with the cross knife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want one of those bad.
I don't think you should have one.
I didn't. That's not a thing I didn't expect at all. Because she's just staying there the whole time in the movie. All of a sudden, she's like, picks up the cross, and switchblade comes up.
Like, these girls, like, they come off at the beginning, like, you know, we're just women stuck out in this war. We're doing our best here.
Like,
but
what typical women of the time were thought to have been.
Yeah. They're fragile. Like, no, I will bite every part of you off that I can.
Yeah, it's
funny, though. Because the women in this movie are the most powerful aspect, while the man is stuck in a wheelchair.
Yeah,
and then the servant stabbed, you know, with a in the beginning also.
Yeah.
So it's like literally up to these women to carry the whole movie to save, you know, the goal of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was pretty remarkable for this kind of for a Mexican movie, actually.
I kind of loved that they, like, she hears the story about the zombies from. I forget his name. Isabel. I can't remember Doesn't matter. The guy, the manservant. Anyway, God, I'm like stuck. Help me.
And Delessio.
Thank you. She hears the story and she's like, so how do we make some of these? How do you do that? And then she fucking puts her nose to the grindstone and figures out how to make goddamn zombies.
That was one of my favorite parts, where she turned the guy, like, left the food out for him.
What an idiot.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
He starts spilling green stuff from his mouth.
Yeah. He just started eating that. I mean, like,
it's a plate on a table with the head, the severed head of one of his compatriots.
To be fair, though, we're all fat. We've been there.
It was like a Sunny D commercial where he's looking for something and he's like, just a severed head. And then behind the severed head, he's like, ooh, bread chunks.
Well, really?
Bread chunks and a gourd full of something.
If your soldiers marching kind of through a desert area, you probably, you know, at a certain point, train yourselves or get trained to eat when you find food, you know,
yeah.
if you can.
I understand that, but I'm not going to eat anything that is also sharing a table with your head.
I'll admit, I've eaten out of the trash before. I'll eat a bowl on a table, so.
What if instead of there being just chunks of bread and that gourd full of whatever, there was the big sack of Taco Bell nacho cheese?
Yeah, Amy, hypothetically, you see a severed head.
Yeah.
And right next to it is a Crunchwrap Supreme.
I'm not eating anything that was near the severed head.
But what if you're hungry?
Well, la-di-da, Amy.
I know. What
if it was two Crunchwrap Supremes?
Well, if it was the Mexican pizza, which y'all, it's going away in November, so I had to eat one the other day, and I don't even normally eat them, but I had to say goodbye. If it was a Mexican pizza and it was removed from the menu at Taco Bell, I love Taco Mexican Bell.
It's funny you bring up the Taco Bell thing because white people are more upset about things leaving from Taco Bell
than Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I have stayed silent. when you came for my soft taco grilled steak, they said nothing.
White people are not more upset about that.
Yeah.
I know you're not talking about me.
We're like, hey, there's kids in cages. And they're like, but my Mexican pizza.
But you know why?
These motherfuckers care more about Mexican pizza than Mexican kids. There's your joke, Andy, for when you go to open mic night.
Oh, thank you. Wow.
And then what's your catchphrase after you say it? You gotta be like, Taco Bell menu problems. And then you gotta strut around the stage.
It'd be, ay, chihuahua.
Ay, chihuahua.
You're rotten.
That's my catchphrase.
They're gonna be huge. You're gonna be bigger than Gallagher.
It's important that everybody understands, though. I understand the reasoning that Taco Bell is removing the Mexican pizza from their menu. They're saying it creates
cultural
too much
appropriation.
Waste.
Oh.
And that they want to reduce their carbon footprint. So they're going to
need more Bali waste.
Well, that too.
Are they appropriating Mexican or Italian culture with a Mexican pizza?
Probably both.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leave it to Taco Bell.
Can you appropriate Italian culture?
I don't know.
Mamma mia, I don't know.
I have culture. Can you appropriate me?
Can I have a Mexican pizza, please?
I know this is going to sound bad, but you know that song WAP?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every time that plays, I think of Italians.
I think, I don't understand why we're not going with WAP.
Andy, that doesn't sound bad. It is bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
If it makes you feel better,
it WAP.
It's WOP versus WAP.
I know, but I really wish we had gone with WAP.
WAP.
I think that's a more fun sound anyway.
Uh-huh.
When we're discussing our wet-ass pussies, wet I like gushy. WAP.
I think I white collar anything. Why just don't make a wet-ass pussy noise? Like...
Well, I think technically it should be wet-ass. Wet-ass.
Speaking of Republicans, did you see that thing where Ben Shapiro was like, wet-ass pussy? I mean, they must be sick. Pussies don't get wet. I never had a pussy wet in my life. Yeah.
My doctor wife says that she has something wrong with her vagina. Okay.
All right. It feels good. She's never had that before.
If your ass pussy is wet, you might be a redneck.
I did just read a thread on Twitter where somebody's like, I think it technically should be wet-ass pussy to be clarifying.
Because it could
grammatically.
It could be wet-ass pussy.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
All right, we did it. Yes. Number one is down. What's our next movie, Lewis?
I don't know. What is the next movie?
I don't have that list that you sent me in front of me.
El Chicano or Calimán en el Siniestro Mundo del Humanón.
I'm going to ask you to just text me which one you want to do, and then I'll find it.
Okay. It may take you longer to find Calimán. So let's do El Chicano because that's brand new.
All right. Sounds good.
It's kind of a Mexican superhero movie. Well, a Mexican-American superhero movie.
Oh, that's fun.
I haven't watched it yet, so I try to keep these as a prize for me as well. So, but I'm not sure if it's based on a comic book or what, but it looks really good. It's got George Lopez in it.
Oh, even better. That's the dog's losing her mind because I think our dinner is arriving. So we're going to.
Do you know how Domino's, when they bring you your pizza, they put that little like standee under it so they can set it on like your porch and like, not touch the ground? How sweet is that?
It's pretty great.
So next week, El Chicano.
El Chicano. And then, Andy, you were watching some other...
Evil Little Things.
Evil Little Things on Prime. So that would be fun. And we're going to end the show like we always do by saying hi to our
Beezlebubs. All right. I'm sorry that I'm going to read these a little faster than normal because
our pizza is probably
on the porch right now. And
read it fast, baby.
Our Beelzebubs understand.
Yeah. Ernie Perez.
Hey.
Elise Combrink.
She here.
Amanda Galecko.
What up?
Jeremy and Cassie Burmeister.
Ooh.
Yo.
Mark Watts.
Yo.
Blake Heath.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Farner. Tree and Alex McNulty. Iona Goodwin.
Iona Goodwin.
Jeff L.
Jeffel.
Brandon and Emily.
Are you guys still in Kentucky?
Adam Ingram.
Laura Ingram.
Bill Chandler.
Ingram. Hi, Bill.
Monica Martinson.
Hey, girl.
Blaine Turner. Kevin Corpy. And last but not least, Alyssa Bam.
Boom.
Alyssa Boom.
Why did I have to end it with a fart? I'm sorry, Alyssa.
I don't know why you did that.
It wasn't real.
You're a class act.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Thank you, Lewis. Right. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Yeah, we'll be back in 1 week. Good night.